today on CityCast Chicago. Hey, Google. The tech giants coming to the Thompson Center in the Loop, affordable housing options in Logan Square, and some Lake Michigan love. We talk about all that and more with WBEZ reporter Susie Ahn and Block Club Chicago reporter Mina Bloom. It's Friday, July 29th. I'm Carrie Shepard in for Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. So each week, Jacoby starts the week in review by kind of taking a news story, a funnish news story, something happening in Chicago, and sort of our cocktail chatter is what we call it. So this week, we, in our newsletter, Sydney Madden covered that Glenn's Diner, this Northside diner, very well known. Susie's nodding. Have you been there, Suze?
I have, up in like the Lincoln Square-ish area.
Exactly. It's closing after many, many decades. So it gave us an opportunity to ask readers and each other. And now I'm going to ask you, Mina and Susie, what your favorite diner in Chicago is and what you order there. Let's start with you, Mina.
So my favorite is Cozy Corner, which I feel like doesn't get enough love. As it should. I mean, I guess it's usually packed. So what am I talking about? But people don't talk about it. It's just very much a classic diner. And I usually go with a classic order. If I'm there for breakfast, I'll do like just like a classic eggs and toast and hash browns. And it really hits the spot.
Cozy Corner at Milwaukee in California, right? The corner there?
That's the one. There's another, there's a couple other locations, but the one right next to the California Blue Line in Logan Square is the one I go to most frequently.
That's the OG. Okay. Cozy Corner. I mean, the name says it all. I have not been there for a long time. I think the last time was on New Year's Day, so that should tell you how I was feeling. Susie Ahn, what is your go-to diner?
I also really enjoy Cozy. I'm going to go with Alps. That's up on Elston.
A-L-P-S?
Yep, like the mountain range. you know, it's hard to go out to eat with kids. They just make everything terrible. so I feel like Alps is good just because it's they've got a lot of room there, and the food comes out quickly. Okay. There's lollipops that kids can get. There's some parking, you know. It's like not the fanciest thing, attributes of a diner, but it's what I'm looking for. And for me, it's like, you know, you're, again, like the classic breakfast. I like getting like the hash brown and any sort of version of two eggs.
Shout out to Susie's kids, Augie and Gael. They are very, very
the
cute.
Best.
But yes, eating with any little kids is difficult. I'm going with Diner Grill on Irving Park across from the Long Room. I used to live right up there on Greenview a thousand years ago, and Diner Grill was a good standby. I remember a couple times with my girlfriends, it was $5 Manhattan night. And we went, and then Diner Grill is just exactly what you need, a grilled cheese and fries. And now thinking about how packed in it is, thinking about it in a COVID time is making me a little scared. But that's, I would say, Diner Grill, which I think just got refurbished. Okay, let's get into the real news. Each week we talk top story. We talk an underhyped story that we think needs to get more attention in Chicago. And then, of course, we'll share our moments of joy. Susie, start with you. What is your top story this week?
So my top story of the week is from the Indiana Star, but also WBEZ's Michael Puente also covered this. This is the bill that is being considered at the Indiana State House, and this is to severely restrict abortions. The bill that they're looking at would ban abortions in most cases, save for rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And In addition to that, this week, they are also looking at adding penalties to doctors who perform abortions. We have seen these types of laws roll out across the country, and even the effects of it. We're already seeing that where, you know, cases where a pregnancy, a wanted pregnancy even, does not go as planned. And basically, doctors are fearful of treating a woman whose pregnancy is not going to come to term. And they are basically waiting for the woman to get sick so that then they could treat her, which, I mean, it's that has just massive effects on a person's body.
And their psyche and their mental health, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, since Indiana is right next door to us, I mean, that also just has ripple effects of what that could mean for people who might be coming to Illinois to access abortion care.
Yeah, we watch Indiana often because Illinois is, you know, Illinois does have, you know, good reproductive rights. And so in nearby states where not so good is an understatement, we are getting more people seeking abortion coming here. Susie, what's the latest on where is the legislation? Is the Indiana legislature in session right now? What happens next with this?
So I believe it was either yesterday that they amended that bill, and it got voted out of committee. The amendments were the additional penalties to doctors who perform an abortion. You know, some of those lawmakers who voted that bill out with those amendments, you know, they were saying this isn't a good bill. But we want to go ahead and vote it out, and we'll change it once it, you know, reaches the full House Senate or the House or the state Senate.
Change it to have more restrictions or?
Yeah. So before they were looking at more the restrictions, and now under this amended bill, this would include the penalties to the doctors who perform the abortion. So that's something that they did this week. I mean, it's got some meandering to do to work its way to go to the full vote. But that's what we're looking at right now. That's the latest, is just that the additional penalties that they've added to this bill that they're considering.
We'll be watching that. Mina, let's go to you, your top story. What have you been paying attention to a lot this week?
So my top story is the news that Google is buying the Thompson Center for $105 million. If you live in Chicago, you know that this is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
The news that came out this week, it's a confirmation of the story that Ryan Ori with CoStar reported on last month. And essentially what's happening is Google is going to renovate the Thompson Center and use it for its offices, which will make it the company's second Chicago headquarters. So the Thompson Center, state government building, it's a postmodern landmark in the middle of downtown Chicago. Some preservationists love it. Some other people hate it.
I would say preservationists love it. Other people hate it.
Other people hate it. And like I said, you know, if you live in Chicago, you know this is a big deal. And the reason that is because the state has been wanting to unload, to sell this building for nearly 20 years.
So long.
Like, this goes all the way back to Governor Blagojevich. So the building, yeah, I know. Think about that. The building suffers from millions of dollars in deferred maintenance. And for the longest time, state officials have been saying, look, this building is a drain on the state's finances because it costs so much to heat and cool. So again, big news. This building has been up for redevelopment for a very long time, and now Google is taking over.
Pritzker actually sold it to these developers, JRTC Holdings LLC, in December. And what Google has with them is this build-to-suit agreement. So once the said renovations are done, then Google takes it over, basically. Like, we're not going to take this in its current state, but we will take it. We will take it once it's improved. I did talk to a couple preservationists and, you know, just poking around online, people said Google's been good to buildings in the past that have some sort of historical significance. This is actually, the Thompson Center is not landmarked. Preservationists are trying to get it on the National Register of Historic Places. Mina, I have to ask, are you a lover or hater of Helmut Jahn's postmodern spaceship-like salmon in blue?
I love it. I think it's incredible. Too. Yeah. I love everything postmodern.
So part of Chicago. I mean, I just feel like it's just such a Chicago icon. And also, I imagine Google's going to do away with the Arby's and Sbarro.
And what are we going to do about the Sbarro? That's a question that we need answers.
We need answers about, yes, the design. But what about the Sbarro?
Google, I know that you're hip and happening, but as just an ironic joke, keep it around.
Totally, they might. We want it. Because it would be ironic. And Suze, as a reporter, as well, all of us, Mina, you too, how many protests and sort of acts of civil disobedience have you covered at the Thompson Center? That's another thing. It's like known for that.
Oh, yeah. So many. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like the go-to meeting point for protests, but also just like, you know, as a reporter, you go out to like get a man on the street sort of vox, and that's where you go. You know, you get tourists, you get Chicagoans, you get people from, I mean, everybody's going through there. So I'm glad it's staying around. I am curious to see what Google does with it.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Okay, so Thompson Center, Google at Thompson Center, Indiana abortion laws, restricting abortion laws. Suze, back to you on what story do you want to give some extra hype to this week?
So some extra hype would go to two Chicago public school teachers who were recommended to be fired because of, activist activities of they influenced students to come protest General Iron's metal shredding facility in the southeast side of the city where a lot of those students lived. And these two teachers were recommended for firing for that. And then just on Wednesday, the Chicago Board of Education, they unanimously voted to go against that recommendation and that these teachers should keep their jobs, maybe just be given a warning. But it's rare that you would see the Board of Education go against a district recommendation. And I think that this has significance because it's, you know, in a way it looks like they were trying to muzzle these teachers. And this is you know, we know about General Iron and how HUD recently came out with a report about how the city practiced environmental racism by wanting to move this facility from the north side to the southeast side. And a lot of these students live
in their own community,
in that community, and that's what they were protesting. They're, you know, in their own community, and that for teachers to be punished for that.
On the southeast side, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of, and the teachers do believe that maybe the mayor was somehow behind this, although there's no evidence for that yet, but it is significant to see the Board of Education go against the district recommendation.
What was the school's official on paper, quote unquote, reason, did they say, for the terminations?
Well, so from what it appears, the principal of the school did not initiate that disciplinary measure.
Oh, really?
So that's sort of like, well, what's going on there? Where's that coming from? So the warning that they were kind of given was something having to do with, you know, safety of the students. But there had been some statements about, you know, the teachers encouraging this protest activity of the students, and that was frowned upon by by the district, I guess, or whoever is behind that.
Can I just add that this is not the first time CPS has been accused of firing employees who have demonstrated activism? Yeah, I wrote a story last month about two school librarians who were, you know, longtime activists, within CPS, fighting for, you know, strong libraries and to keep librarians employed. They were both fired, and they feel like they were fired because of their activism. So,
like, activism of fighting for calling for resources, or
essentially activism in that they
more reading
have been critical. They have been critical of the district for many, many years.
Got it.
And they feel like their firing was retribution.
For sure. Mina, what is your underhype story for Chicagoans to pay attention to this week?
So my underhype story is a story that I wrote this week about a community land trust out of Logan Square that is gaining a lot of momentum. It is a very interesting, I think, program. And essentially what it is that there's a group of community organizations in the Logan Square, Hermosa, Avondale area. It's Palenque, LSNA, the Center for Changing Lives, Lucha. I'm not going to name all of them.
Okay.
But several organizations have been working for the last 5 years to launch this community land trust. It's called the Here to Stay Community Land Trust. The goal of the land trust is to fight displacement in Logan Square, Avondale, Hermosa, which has seen many Latinx residents leave in search of cheaper rents. And the housing prices there in those neighborhoods have really gone up in recent years.
I really enjoyed your story, I was going to say, and I appreciated that, you know, one of the recipients of this, the first recipients, this couple, she was, you know, she was a Mexican, first generation Mexican American who grew up in the neighborhood, which is just like, here to stay. This is our community. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. So this week, the Community Land Trust, they celebrated their first buyers. This young couple who bought a home on Cortland Street right near the 606. And they are ecstatic. Never thought they'd be able to afford a home, a single family home in Logan Square. And here they are. And like you said, the woman, she grew up in the Logan Square Humboldt Park area. She spent a lot of time in this area growing up. And her dad lived here when he first immigrated from Mexico. And her parents lived in an apartment here that was their first apartment when they moved to Chicago. She has a lot of memories tied to this neighborhood.
Where's the money coming? The funding coming from? Do we know how much it is?
The Community Land Trust, there's a unique arrangement. It allows the organizations to sell the homes to families at a deep discount. The Community Land Trust only is selling the building, not the land. So the buyers are leasing the land from the Community Land Trust.
I see. Okay. And this case, this couple, they own their home, right?
They own their home. It's just that, you know, essentially they're leasing the land for 99 years. It's a 99-year lease.
Okay. It's the fun time. Susie knows I like to sing. Susie also likes to sing.
I feel like you should try.
Can we all try?
Let's do it together.
You okay, know? Maybe okay. 1, 2, 3.
Some good news.
Dear.
To get you through. Okay. We really every day look forward to this. And, you know, for everything that's happening, that although these were all pretty fairly uplifting stories, you know, there's always some good news out there. So I will start with you, Mina. What is your good news moment of joy going into the weekend?
Last week, Patrick and I, we went to Montrose Beach.
Patrick
and
Mina's husband.
Sorry, Patrick, my husband.
Of WBEZ.
Susie's colleague at WBEZ.
And our friend.
we went to Montrose Beach and it after work one night, and it was so perfect. And I just want to shout out Lake Michigan at this time of the summer. Feels so good. Swimming in Lake Michigan, it was so warm. It felt like a bath. I was like, I had so much peace in my heart, just like swimming in the lake and like looking at the buildings. And I just really encourage everyone to get in Lake Michigan. This is the time. It's warm enough. It's been really hot. Get in there.
I love that. I definitely got in Lake Michigan last weekend in Michigan City. I was like, it's a little cold, but I'm going to push through. And I love that you went during the week because we always save the beach for the weekend. And we did that a few weeks ago, happened to like have the afternoon off / took the afternoon off and, you know, went down to 31st Street Beach. And it's just like incredible, you know, beautiful, the views. Oh, my God. I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach to hear how outsiders talk about our city anyway. But I'm like, I do not know a city more beautiful than this. Like, it's like the skyline, the rocks, the water. I mean, the people, like just people on the beach and like.
Totally.
That's awesome. Love that, Mina. Love it. Montrose Beach.
Brought
shout out.
So much joy. But there are so many other good beaches, not just Montrose.
So many. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Suze, what's your good news?
I mean, just summertime in Chicago, you know, just kind of going on this theme. There's this energy and feeling in everybody like, we want to enjoy our city. We want to enjoy this time we have. And so I was downtown over the weekend at Millennium Park at the Fountain. And it's just, I love seeing it through through the kids, you know, like how much fun it is to just splash in that fountain and like with the backdrop of our city and just the sunshine and how beautiful everything is. Also, shout out to Montrose Beach again. I love how like there's like a swimmers club on Friday mornings where they'll jump in the lake at like 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's fun.
I haven't done that. But I love that there are people who do that. And it's like anyone can come and you just, you know, at like around 7:15, they jump in the water, stay as long as you want, or you can just leave.
Awesome. That was great, Suze. I guess I'll continue that wave and no pun intended on the good news and use it as an opportunity. Our listeners may be sick of this, but we've got this awesome summertime shy bucket list. So hashtag CityCastSummer, and last weekend I used it as, used last weekend and maybe this weekend to knock off some off my list because I'm embarrassed to say I had never been to the original Rainbow Cone in Beverly, went there, but before we went to original Rainbow Cone, I don't know if you guys know about this, the Nathan Manelow Sculpture Park at Governor State University. It's incredible, and I'll post my pictures. Nobody was there. It's this very green campus, and it has these pathways in the grass to these unbelievable huge sculptures, and it's a great way to be outside. I know we still want some outside activities. Get out there and enjoy Lake Michigan. Get out there and enjoy the beaches. Get out there and enjoy the art. Get out there and enjoy the ice cream and the food, and do the summertime shy bucket list, I must say. Mina Bloom, Block Club Chicago reporter who covers Humboldt Park, Logan Square, Avondale, Hermosa, really covers it all, folks. Susie Ahn, education reporter at WBEZ, but really covers so much. And both my friends, I'm so happy to see both of you and talk with you and get your smart takes on the news. Thank you so much for joining CityCast Chicago.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
It takes a small but mighty crew to bring you CityCast Chicago every day. That includes producer Simone Alisea and Meg Dalton, newsletter writer Sydney Madden, and of course, our host, Jacoby Cochran. And the music you hear throughout the show, that comes from Sam Thousand, All the Kimonos, Mark Greenberg of the Mayfair Workshop. Thanks for listening and hanging all week. Get more CityCast at chicago.citycast.fm/newsletter. I'm Carrie Shepherd. Simone's in the host seat Monday. Talk to you then.
These days, I think I'm going more sunny side up, you know, so that I can just dip the toast in afterwards.